Now, in Money Matters, Steve Lowry and I spoke, must be about 6 months ago now, about a bet that was made. Well, he's going to remind us of that bet and share the outcome with us. Plus, he's brought along Adriana Brink, an assistant advisor from Allman Partners, to talk about Centrelink and the pension. You know, when you retire and you're about to become a pensioner, what are those key things that you need to keep in mind that really, really could make a difference? Adriana will share that story soon. But before we start, as I mentioned, a bet made between a billionaire and a hedge fund manager. And the hedge fund manager is forced to pay up. What on earth would that be like?
What would that be like?
That'd be like Christmas, wouldn't it?
Well, it's funny that the richest man in the world, or one of the richest men in the world, Warren Buffett, made this bet in 2008. And we spoke about it on the show probably about 6 months ago.
Yeah, a little while ago.
So the bet was this. So Warren was sitting with a hedge fund manager. His name's Ted Sedis. And I guess he was bragging about how he can beat markets and get the best return for his investors. So Warren Buffett said, I'll bet you $1 million that I'll beat you year in and year out just by putting my money in the S&P 500 index fund, and I'll let that run for 10 years and you do your trading. And if I beat you more years than you beat me overall as well, you have to pay me $1 million and we'll donate it to charity.
When you can make a bet for $1 million and then donate it to charity, I think that means you've made it, hey?
Sounds pretty
right,
good.
So 10 years later, where are we? Who won?
Well, guess what? We're not quite 10 years yet, but Mr. Sedis has capitulated and he's written the check. And so what happened over that 10-year period? And this guy runs an expensive hedge fund which does all sorts of, you know, unique sort of trading methods to try to get a higher return for his investors. He has five funds. So Warren had won the index, and this guy could beat him with five funds. What happened is that this year, and considering this was just before the GFC. So over the 10-year period, the S&P 500 index performed at 7.7% annualised over that whole period of time.
Okay, so an average, that time, right.
So it's not great, but it's better than putting your money in the bank, right?
Right, yeah.
Mr. Sedis' hedge funds did 2.2%.
Oh, no! He wasn't even close.
Over the 9.5 years. And so he very humbly wrote the check just recently.
Oh, my God.
And Mr. Buffett gave the money to a San Francisco charity. I think the interesting thing here is that he hasn't learned his lesson because he said, oh, well, you know, I think Warren chose a good period. Although in 2008, the American market was at an all-time high. So you'd expect that the next 10 years might not be as good as what it was. And so he thought that Warren was making a bet that he's no way in the world he's going to win.
Well, of course, you bet the guy $1 million and accepted the bet.
Yes, that's right. He's obviously going to afford it. So what's happened after that is after he's written the check, he said, yeah, look, humbly, he beat me. But I think he chose a good period. And I reckon if we did the bet today, over the next 10 years.
No, did Warren say? Did he pick it up?
You know what he said? He said, considering the market's at an all-time high. Well, hello, you said that 10 years ago. So he didn't offer $1 million, but he said, I think my odds are better than most, I could win the next 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So really interesting. So Warren, being just a really humble man, you know, this guy, if our listeners don't know about Warren Buffett, he lives in Omaha, second richest or the first richest man in the world, still lives in the same home that he bought with his wife 40 years ago.
Isn't that so cute?
Very humble.
Maybe they would have done some renovations, I think, maybe.
Yeah, a little
slight
bit.
Slight renos.
Just a little bit. But so he's actually made a decision that already pledged it. He's giving 99% of his wealth to charity when he passes away.
Wow.
So the kids get 1%, which, you know, mind you, on $55 billion, that's not too bad.
Yeah, you're still doing okay, aren't you?
It's not too bad. So that's Warren's bet. The other thing we want to speak about today is, for our listeners, give you some practical tips to make sure you're getting the most out of your age pension.
Okay, and you've brought along an expert to talk about that.
I have. I've got Adriana Brink, who's our Centrelink expert at Allman Partners, Good morning, Adriana.
Good morning, Steve.
Just trying to even work your way around Centrelink for some people can be a huge deal, because if you've worked your whole life and then all of a sudden you're on a pension, this is a world you haven't been privy to.
That's right. I mean, over 5 million Australians do rely on income from Centrelink, but for most people claiming for the first time, so much to navigate.
It can become really confusing when you try to do it on your own.
Absolutely, yeah. So any help that people can have and tips that they can take will help them along their journey a lot.
You've got a couple of those with you today?
We do, yes. A big key one that we see a lot is making sure that Centrelink are up to date at all times. So if you spend money on a holiday or a car or another type of asset, then Centrelink need to know about it.
Oh, because that can then determine difference in payments and things like
That's
that.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people forget, you know, they make these decisions and then they forget it. And a couple we've seen, Adriana, were quite staggering, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, we had one we saw recently, and they bought a funeral bond, not knowing that funeral bonds aren't assessed for Centrelink. So when we were able to update Centrelink, they got a much larger payment as a result.
Ah, and especially if you're thinking about at pension age, if you're buying, you know, a good quality car to tow a caravan, or in fact you might be buying the caravan, or what, you often even forget to tell them that you've bought a property or changed homes.
Right.
You might be downsizing or upsizing, and all of those things that you happen in your daily life, you don't remember to tell them that, because
That's right. In
your mind, you're not earning any more money or any less money. Everything's still the same over this side, but the left-hand side might have changed drastically.
That's right, and that brings me to the next point, is making sure that Centrelink have the correct values for your home and contents.
Ah.
A lot of people tend to record the insured value rather than the fire sale value. So what they need to know is, if you were to park your car or your contents out the front of your house, how much cash would you get today?
Wow, for contents, that wouldn't be a lot these days.
No. Generally with contents, they'll accept $10,000 for a couple. And we had a client, a prospective client, who had theirs recorded at $100,000.
Oh, wow. And that, again, would change things dramatically when it comes to being assessed.
Every $50,000 worth of assets would reduce your payment by about $150 a fortnight for a couple.
Ooh.
So making sure you got those values recorded correctly is really important.
Absolutely. You know, like you said, if they had their insured at $100,000, but it really on the side of the street to sell it is worth $10,000, that's almost $300 a fortnight difference.
That's right, yeah.
And it's an enormous amount. You know, for our listeners who are relying on the age pension, every dollar, as you'll know, is critical.
Mm.
And so, you know, these little tips, you know, just little things that you can do to make sure that you're maximising the income to your family, to make sure you're living, you know, a sustainable life, and making sure you're getting all your entitlements.
I mean, you've worked your whole life to be able to have these entitlements, you know. It's kind of what it's for.
Mm.
This is the time now that you should be getting everything that
Absolutely.
You're entitled to.
You know, the problem is that, you know, it can feel a bit confusing. Going to Centrelink, you know, is a pain sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait so long, but you can do this all online. And so if you're on the front foot and you don't put your head in the sand, make sure you just review what you've told Centrelink on the information we've said today. You might want to change a few things, and that's going to help you. And next year, a lot of the information that you have to report to Centrelink will be happening automatically. So Centrelink will get a complete feed from your banks and all those sort of things.
Ooh.
And make that a lot easier. But still, this issue of your contents and money that you spend are really important to make sure you update.
It's the same thing then when you come to your home, when you're telling them, because you might be insured for $600,000 for your house and land, but if you actually sold it tomorrow, you might only get $400,000.
No, look, the home's generally not assessed for Centrelink purposes, and with real estate, they do regular valuations. But again, it is really important to try and record an accurate value.
Mm. It's all about the accuracy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's all in the little things.
And just another little thing. I mean, we had a client we saw recently that gave up work to look after a relative. 6 months later, she noticed that Centrelink weren't recording her husband's income, even though they'd reported it. They demanded that she repaid overpayments of about $6,000.
Oh.
But with our help, the debt was waived due to Centrelink's administrative error, so that was a really good outcome.
And again, something that you don't even think about, do you? Because you've done it, it's
That's
sorted.
Right. That's right.
It's only usually at tax time when you're kind of looking through things again or rejigging or taking notice that you go, oh, where did that go?
That's right, yeah.
And that could be really scary when you're not having an income.
Mm.
Well, imagine if you're struggling and you get a bill for $6,000, it's going to be hard to repay, right?
Absolutely. I think it's any day that a $6,000 bill is hard to repay.
That's it.
So keeping on top of things, that's the key for today.
There you go. Keeping on top of things, especially if you're transitioning from one workplace to another or from work into part-time work or then through to receiving the pension. And please note that all information and circumstances discussed today are of general nature. If you would like information specific to your needs, contact your preferred financial advisor.